Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Thank you for a warm welcome. Thank you for associating with boxing, but I'm done coaching boxing this season. I went back to coach rugby. Which one is more violent, I don't know. But for sure, we can make disciples out of anything that God created through men as well. Now, this morning, I want to share a word from God that is, I don't like it. Because people misunderstand me with these words. So I just want to jump into what are we going to talk about today? Yep. Do not hold back. I just want to say this, because do not hold back, it's not an easy thing to do, isn't it? How many of you do sports here? Okay, you are too tired to raise up your hand after sport, yeah? The thing is, doing sport, in a modern day of doing sport, it's nonsense if you always think about do not hold back. It's not scientific. Right? If you always do, I heard that, I don't know if you noticed, there is a Taipei City Run this morning. When I went into a breakfast place today, a lot of people just dressing up, not for coffee space, but they dress up like they run a lot and they did not smell. And I find out, because I Google, that the distance that they're running is 12K if they start off like 5 a.m., but if their running started from 6:30, which is more friendly, right, with 6:30 a.m., right, Harry, and they only run for 3K. And I was just thinking, how would people manage if they have a kind of a longer run, if they always think about do not hold back? You cannot. It's not 100 meters sprint. It's not like just a race of a short distance. And I think sometimes we misunderstood about when we all Christians gather together, we talk about do not hold back. I don't think it's all about every single day we give all and tide ourselves, you know, coming to exhaustion, and then we will just get enough blessing so that next day we can do it all again, and next day we do it again. I don't think this is particular way that God called us to worship. And I thank Pastor Bruce and Terry just really leading this church community, not forcing us to do anything, but inviting us to experience God and honor and enjoy God all together with all the blessing that He has for us. And I think one thing that I believe, we believe, that God is not a slave driver. He's not trying to coach us like, get on your life. I don't care how much you hurt. I don't care how your feeling is. That's not who God is. So today we're going to look into the scripture and talk about how God called us to not hold back. Can I invite, if you can, to stand with me as we receive the word of God. Not the whole sermon, don't worry about that. I'm just going to read the scripture publicly for all of us. And my prayer and my hope is that when we receive the word of God, it's like wave upon the shore, that the word of God will cleanse us and shape us all together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you as we read the word of God, your word. I pray that you will continue to do the power deeds, the word that only you can do to our soul, to our heart, and our mind. Thank you, God, for you are about to do mighty things, beautiful, loving things into our hearts together. And help us, O Lord, to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Please remain standing. Yes, my wife. That's a different rhythm when I preach in Hong Kong. Yes. Okay, got it. Let me read from the book of Isaiah 54, verse 1 to 5. It says here, saying, O barren one, who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not been in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. Enlarge this place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stands. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will the people the desolate city. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth, it is called. This is the word of God. Sometimes when you want to give it all, God calls you to pause. Isn't it? There are a lot of dreams and a lot of agendas that we have. And we believe in faith that God called us to do something that's so important. No matter it is to reach out to somebody and talk about Jesus and share your testimony, or you want to lead a small group and you want to give it all. But then way before that, God, hilariously, almost always called us to stop, to pause. Not for us to get ready so that we can do better, but to see why we are doing what we are doing. Why we always want to finish this and do that. And why do we want to give it all? Some of us may be thinking about something that you've been praying about. And today, we're going to talk about this, the book of Isaiah, not the whole thing because it's 66 chapters. I'm going to talk about 5 verses right in the middle of this great book of Isaiah that talk about how the Israelites sin against God and will be exiled to a very far, crazy place that it's going to be slave over, but then how the heart of God is communicated through the prophet Isaiah to help them to understand what is the plan of God. And today, our first thing we want to talk about is faith-building word. Faith-building word. And just now, Pastor Bruce invite us, all of us, to skip one coffee or one meal to get that we believe. I think it's really important for us to know what we believe, because there's no ground to talk about anything we don't talk about. Are we believing the same thing, right? And I think the Word of God is really the ultimate reference and the instructions and our moral standard of what we believe. And as we continue to believe that God speaks and God spoke already, we know that we are basing on the heart of God and the blessing of God and the requirement of the Lord together for all of us as we worship. So we're going to zoom in a little bit here. Isaiah 54 verse 1, it says here, "Sing, O barren one, who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor." So here in the second half of this verse, it's really interesting because that is also radical. For in the culture of the Israelite, we don't talk like that. They don't talk like that. I'm not Israelite, sorry. "For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married." And even for us, how can you understand that? For those who marry, they will have baby, isn't it? But in their culture, it's impossible if you're not married to have children. But then the second half of the verse is telling a radical truth that God spoke to the whole Israelite and saying that, hey, you are like a woman that did not bear. It's not fruitful. You're not having children. And in their culture, it's so much in shame. And they could not lift up their head. But God called us to do something, not because what they have been experienced, that they're about to be exiled. They're about to be kicked out from their homeland. And I look around this hall, this church facility. Quite a lot of us are not originally from Taiwan. I'm just assuming. How many of us are not originally from Taiwan, please? Can you raise up your hand? Okay, look around. I don't know about you, but do you feel like you got kicked out from your home country and then come to here? Or are you just having holiday like me? Sometimes you know this is not a good feeling when you have to leave home for some time. No matter it's for work, That is, you know, just for vacation, and then you just so miss the bed and the kitchen and the toilet, especially the toilet that you have back home, isn't it? The smell is good because it's your smell. The kitchen is good because you know exactly what you want to touch and you don't want to touch. Home is always good. But for Israel, like, they feel like they're being forsaken and rejected and punished, which they actually were. But then the thing is, God, in this very specific word, telling them to have faith that you will be different, that you will be radically transformed. And there's sometimes that in our lives, we have to taste and see different things and in the different places, internship, for instance, to experience something really difficult or different, so that we finally can understand that, hey, my world was too small. I've been taking things for granted. I've been so used to my, so to speak, comfort zone. But then the Lord has been telling the Israelites that you sin against me. You have been worshiping other gods. And I'm going to send you out. I'm going to kick you out from your homeland so that you will know that I'm your God. Not because that God wants to be a Pharaoh. This God is not like a very wicked boss and say, now you have to do overtime, OT, so that you know I have power to make you stay in the office, right? It's not like the professors that you don't like. Hey, you have to add on one more page on your final thesis when you graduate, because I just want to say that I'm your professor. I can do all things. Not like that. Our boss, our king, our God is not like that. Our God is always doing everything for us to understand that, hey, I'm here and I'm for you. And all the time that you've been experiencing your life, you've been rejecting my perfect love. And sometimes God has to do that for us to understand that faith building season and faith building work sometimes is something that we exactly want to reject. But God called the Israelites to do two things. It's 2W. It's really easy because the word says sing. And it says again that you will do singing and cry loud. Crying is like you're shouting, not like crying loud, right? So in that faith-building word, God called us to worship. God called us to worship, to sing song and praise God for who He is. Amazing. How many of you love controlling things? When you have control, you feel safe. And worship is not like that. Worship is not like we know that I'm going to sing well because the beat is following, then my pitch is right there. Worship is not control. Worship, it's actually losing, giving out of, you know, I don't need control. I'm saying who God is for who He is, not saying what I think who God is. God is calling us to sing and cry out loud for who He is. And then for the following verses of this passage, as God explained and built up their faith to talk about what worship has meant. It's more than singing. It's more than crying out loud. Just like earlier when we sing, some of us understand that God is a holy God. Amen? Good. But how many of you experience holy God in your life? Then it's like, yes, God, you're really holy. I'm so sorry. Right? And every time when we experience the holy God, we feel and know how unholy we are. And that hurts. But it doesn't stop us to continue to worship, because we know we're not worshiping our experience. We are worshiping for God. Amen. And who God is, for He deserves all the glory. And worship is like this. The singing and the crying out loud is not shallow. That's why what we sing in our worship services, in our daily devotional time, it matters. When I was a baby Christian, and sometimes I still do, that when I feel down, I put on Planet Shaker. And then old songs as well. You know, just crying out loud, you know, this is the time and whatever, right? It's just I really need to feel that Holy Spirit. Yeah, Holy Spirit, right? I really feel that music to pump me up rather than I'm feeling and waiting for God to do something about my desire and my agenda So then what a panic shaker or passion or baffle, whatever band that we've been worshipping, then we understand that singing and crying out loud is not because we want to fix our emotion, but we are waiting for God to come and fix us. That's why worship is so important. And whatever we listen to and we enjoy, our hearts would lean towards that. Sometimes when we read the Bible, when we listen to worship song, I pray and I hope that every single brother and sisters in this room and all over the whole world is not because we want to be fixed by our songs, but encouraging verses like Philippians 3, 4:13, like I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And every time when I feel down, I just go back to Philippians, that verse, right? Not understanding the whole thing that what God calls us to do. So after this instruction of singing out loud, breaking out from our own experience that kind of trap us into understanding and seeing who God is, God instructed Israelite to do another thing. Let us look into verse 2. The highlighted word, would you please read it out loud for me? 1, 2, 3, go! Amen. The Bible is such a brilliant literature, and it's so much of artworks there. And in this very verse, that is a parallelism and repetitively talking about how you're going to prepare for something is greater. Because it says, enlarge, and then stretch out, and then lengthen and strengthen, right? Those are the words that pointing us to the same image, right? It's so good, it helps us to visualize what God calls us to do. And the Israelite has to understand the heart of God is to prepare for something, right? That's why it says, enlarge your tent. How many of you live on the tent now? Under? No? Good. Do you go like camping sometimes? Yes? No? In Hong Kong? Some do, some don't. I'm an indoor person, I don't like outdoor and beach or anything, but I sometimes would do that. I mean, tent and curtains and court and everything, you know, you just take a little bit more time to do that and prepare for that, right? And sometimes when you go for camping, if you're going for like me and my wife, we just need a small one. Or you don't believe me, because looking at my size, you might, no, you need a bigger one, man. But my wife is kind of cute and tiny, so we're okay. And then the thing is, you kind of prepare your tent because you have certain number, isn't it? Like coming here, I don't need 4 hotel rooms to feed me. And then once again, you say, oh, maybe you need 4 rooms. You base on your booking, on your preparation, based on what you have, isn't it? But God is calling us to do, and I believe this is the word of God for every nation, Taipei. We just don't plan and do things based on what we have. We plan and we prepare based on what God has to say. That's why it's faith building word. God is the one who initiated and stirred up our faith so that we know what we should prepare. And he says, enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. How many of you want to do, you like doing stretching? I don't. Especially after rugby and boxing. You know, my muscles are so tight and I just like always want, I just want to sleep in. But stretching out is good because kind of loosening up and you really feel everything. But here in this tent, stretching out, it's even crazier. It's when you feel pain, but Israelite is like, I'm going to exile and you're sending me to another nation that I will be slave there. You ask me to stretch out. You ask me to prepare more people, make more babies so that they can suffer with us. Are you out of your mind? Why do we do that? In some of the kind of like well-developed nations, the birthing rate is super low. I'm not making like direct kind of connection here. But sometimes when we feel like the circumstances and the society is not so good for me, It's not so good for my family. We then have fear and anxiety that energize us to worry and concern. And then we make a decision based on what we have. And the circumstances, I don't want to have any babies. This society, this country, this nation, this city doesn't deserve my next generation. I would rather them to just not hear. Why would they? Why would they have to suffer? But Israelite was going through the same thing. Their experience and what they know about their season is not making babies. You don't want your next generation to suffer. But God calls them to prepare not like what they know. God asks them to prepare what they will have. What they will experience that they don't know. And it's so radical that sometimes we forget about that God is a radical God. That sometimes if we walk and do according to our agenda and our experience and our emotion, it works for a while, but it's temporary. But if we kind of break through and listen to the faith-building word of God, we know He's going to work it out for us. It's not me struggling. It's not by might or strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like I always tell our boxer in the ring. So we're doing like practicing all the 1, 2, 3 hook and all thing. I teach them all the moves, right? And it's so good. But when they come into the ring, they suddenly forget everything. As a coach and a pastor, what do? Of course, Pastor Bruce, they love them. I'll just punch them. What are you talking about? No, I didn't do that. I just prayed for them. But it's not about before they get into the ring and what you tell them, because when they face the enemy, which is the opponent, it's not really enemy, right? So you have to tell them that you are going to be under a lot of pressure, but you know what? There's always a coach at your corner. All that you have to do is just to stand firm and keep listening. When you keep listening to who has your corner, you will continue to do that. So every time when I shout it out, that faith building word is that yes, 1, 2, you know, sleep, and then get back 1, 2 again. They're not robots. I'm just helping them. Why? Because whoever has your corner, they have a better perspective. Because who has your corner is that they don't under the same pressure you have. They see everything. They know your opponent. This is our coach. Our God knows better. He knows our enemy. He knows what's going to happen. So if we keep hearing this faith-building word, come on, brothers and sisters.
Come on.
Just need to stand firm and follow. We don't have to figure out everything. We don't know how the opponent's going to punch us with a cross, with a illegal punch or whatever. But follow through with that. Kind of build up our faith. And even though it's very fearful to do the punching and everything, but it is His will for us to go in, isn't it? If we agree with that, then we finally can work. This work is to respond to what God called us to do. So as we continue to follow the word of God, then we know we are working under the will of God, isn't it? And I just want to really point it out, because this is not an opposite thing. You know, I come from Hong Kong, so we have a little bit of a spirit of consumerism. Just a little bit, not much. Maybe seem like Taiwan. not pointing fingers. And the thing is, sometimes we think like worship is sitting up and, you know, play your music or come to the church and sit back and just, your name is holy, your name is power, your name. What is that? It's life, right? And you just chill, and then almost you want to put the songwriter to be bossa nova and just like, continue to do this, and worship is just like enjoying, and my whole being is just so filled up by the presence of God. Yes, that is. But it's not only that. If our worship is only when we have one of the best singers and worship leader, but Terry is not going to be staying with you every single morning when you turn on that Spotify or Netflix, no. You know, whatever that media platform that you're playing, right? You can control all that, but worship and work, it's our life. They're not contradicting to each other. My work should be worshiping God. And as I'm worshiping, I could work. Because God definitely doing his work in us as we worship. They break a lot of idols in us every time we worship. When we know that, he's not only helping us to enjoy, but to honor him all the more. Then we know. Work and worship, they don't go against each other. Perhaps we have another time to talk about that. But go and grab that book. We believe you will know a little bit more. Second thing I want to talk about is the fruitful future promise. Promise is always the future. I don't promise you what already happened, right? That's simple logic, so I can skip that. But also, the future promise sometimes could be very fearful rather than fruitful. Look at what God has been telling them and reminding them what God has to do about that. Verse 3, would you please read that for me? 1, 2, 3, go! This is the promise of God. It's not the circumstances they're experiencing, because they were about to go to a exile, a journey that they are going to be slave and secondary classes of citizens, right? This is not the reality. But the reality in the future, or the reality of the heart of God, speaks otherwise. God is saying that you will spread abroad to the right and to the left. And for your offspring will possess, and the real people, desolate cities. Right now, I just want to break it down into two things that every nation in a whole wild world of spiritual families that we treasure about. Is these two things. Generations and nations. This is all we call to do. We might not feel like we have enough manpower or leaders or full-time minister, or maybe sometimes I feel like the congregations in Hong Kong are not ready for things. But I never at one Sunday or never a time that I stopped speaking these two words to our congregation. Why? Because this is what is the heart of God, which will be the reality of the future. I'm not speaking on something that I know that life is tough. The price of the land is expensive, next generation, Gen Z people, they have different languages. I'm not going to speak of things that I know that's going to be tough. I speak of the faith-building word, but because God called us to be someone that we cannot be. Generations are tough. How many of you have family here? Wow. Right? You have, right? No matter what your relationship with your family. Families is always tough. Generations is always tough. Multiple generations, the diversity will just get you on your toes. I'm coaching rugby back into my university these days. What they have been talking, I have no clue. The slang that they're having, they're speaking Cantonese, my mother tongue, and I sometimes understand nothing. For me, they're speaking hashtags. For me, my boys, they never finish a sentence. And every single week, every single before, during, and after the coaching sessions, as I'm discipling them and coaching them for rugby, I'm just trying to understand where they're coming from. Is that really just a slang or something that they want to portray or present themselves, or something that they're so afraid and trying to hide away from? I think generation is very difficult, but hey, look at your left. Look at someone sitting on your left. Look at your right. Yes, those are the people who used to be very difficult too. If you're laughing, we got it, bros. It is our calling, because we're always in between generations, isn't it? We want to honor our generations that go before us and also who comes after us. And that is what God is calling them to do. For your offsprings, it's going to go. And they will possess the nations. And that comes to nations. And you talk about immediate, like, again, look at your right this time. Look at your right. Look at your left. Yes. Yes, very different, isn't it? We might look very different. We craft different kind of jokes. We treasure different kind of time, understanding of time, when you say like church start at 11, some people interpret it 11. So when I come at noontime, it's still okay. Some people are just saying, oh, if it's 11, I better come at 10. I don't know which culture are you. I'm definitely just on time kind of generation because we are Hong Konger. We kind of the single minute. But the thing is, cultures can distract us. And we always look into the differences rather than the common places. So that's why when we study, we believe by studying, we believe, we know the common ground. It's not because we have this common ground. Because God has this common ground all the more for us to enjoy Him together. If we always look at those tiny little differences of how people deal with time, deal with how singing how loud or how not loud, you know, what kind of worship band that they always listen to. If we only focus on preferences, it's so hard to have unity. But if we focus on what God has to say about our lives, and I think no matter generation or nations, God will penetrate through for our testimony, for our unique identity, because we are willing to die to ourselves and to bless and to go. And willing to not look at our current circumstances, just like the Israelites, but look at what God is causing us to look at, which is the fruitful future promise. As we continue, and I'm landing, faithful love of God. Oh, I didn't realize I put the Chinese here too. Faithful love of God. How many of you love that God is very faithful? Yes? No matter if we are, if we're very okay week or very not okay week, God is always faithful. We worship God or sin against God and the others, God is also faithful. As I'm growing in my journey of faith, I always went back to a kind of default mode. Is that I calculate how God can bless me because of my performance. I mean, after all, I'm a coach. I look at all the stats of the players. You know, I try to quantify everything that we have. And then I'm trying to say, hey, God, would you please do this? Because I did that. Right? My prayer is almost like, God, you know, I've been through a good week. I've been surfing. I've been knowing. I'm doing my Bible study like 5 minutes every day, every single morning. Would you please, this Sunday, help me to understand who you are? I'm not saying this is a very bad prayer, but if we get into this rhythm all the time, we will be always counting on God's blessing because of who I am. What God could do is way more and far more than what we can imagine and even to receive. Faithful love of God doesn't count on who we are or our faithfulness. Faithfulness of God counts on God's faithfulness. In this passage, or actually in the whole book of Isaiah, it's basically this kind of contrast. It's a fearful man, no matter if it's Israelite or their enemy, they're very fearful. That's why they do all things to protect themselves with military powers, with all the tricks and all the lies that they want to do so that they preserve their own lives. They make wrong alliance. They say the wrong things. They go to the wrong God. The fearful people always control and always being controlled. But faithful God is not about control. Faithful God is always about inviting and inspiring. Some of us have been a Christian for a few months, more years, decades. I know some of us really love this kind of stuff. We have control. Sometimes when we come to the church and we want to love people, isn't it? Do we want to love people? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Do we want to be loved?
Yes.
Good. But sometimes we force the connection together. Sometimes we come into any kind of relationship, we want to love, but we also expect people to love us back. No matter what kind of level it is. But we want them to respond how we want to respond. And just like this clicker, right? I put all my slides in Chinese and English. I just want you to work. And it does. We come through this door and we expect that God, I want to do this. I show up. Why don't you show up this morning? Sometimes we come and say hi to people for 4 consecutive weeks. And we hope that that person remember my name. And he or she does not. And I'll stop trying when it comes to the 5th. Sometimes you have been investing and spending time and your emotion and your energy to someone you just get to know in church. You want to share the love of God to that person. But you know what? Sometimes we just have, based on what kind of love that people give it back to us, and then we determine what kind of love that to give it back to that person. And all the more, with all the controlling and all the fear underneath, we finally come to a place that we broke our trust and we're not willing to love anymore. So God demonstrates here in this passage and in this verse 5, would you please read it for me? 1, 2, 3. Of course, this verse comes with after verse 4. It said, "Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not be confounded, and you will not be disgraced, for you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more." The thing is, when we love, God is teaching us that we have to forget the shame and the very dissatisfying, discouraging experience. When we come into place of God, God doesn't want us to hold on to whatever hurt and emotional troubles that we have. I'm not saying that we should disregard everything. I'm not saying that they mean nothing. I'm saying that we should not stop there. Emotion is as good as they're telling us how we feel. And sometimes it's so, or I would say most of the time it's so unreliable to tell us what the situation really means. So church, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us that when we love, please do not keep the record. For the Lord Jesus tells us that when we do something good from our left hand, do not let our right hand know, or the other way around. Wow, sorry, I'm not very good with left or right. But you're a boss and coach. Yes, I am. The thing is, if we always keep record, no matter the good things or the bad things, if we always have a little record that we have, it will just stop us to freely and joyfully serve and love others. And we keep on remembering all those things. You did that to me. Oh, you did that to me. Oh, you did that to me. We will not have this godly freedom to go about and to spread from the left and the right and to possess the nations. I'm not saying we don't calculate our cost. I'm not saying we don't make a wise decision. But our wise decision and counting our cost, it shouldn't base on what we have or what we have not. At the end of the day, I think St. Augustine really helped us to understand one reality. As we come and talk about do not hold back, that is what God called us to do. He says here, without God we cannot. Without us, God will not. I think it's really profound and packed with theology that we should know that God is a God that He can do all the things, and He invited us to do and to love and forgive and be patient with others, right? Yes, so I will preach another hour. Without God, we cannot save anything, change anything. The Lord Jesus said, without me, you cannot do anything. Abide in me, abide in my love, abide in my word, right? You know that, John 15, lovely. The thing is, the truth is we trying to change circumstances, just like the Israelite, trying to get around the painful journey just to get what they want. Don't laugh at them. We all do that. If you are an athlete, then you know what I'm talking about. We have to embrace the pain so that we can grow. But in life also, when you are parenting, when you're in a relationship, if you're studying, if you're internship, you have to embrace that so that we can grow. It's not for us to keep record of that, not because that when we have enough experience that we can do things. But God is saying that without, St. Augustine is saying that without God we cannot. Ultimately, many are the plans in man's heart, but the purpose of God shall prevail. And we know that God is not going to do anything without us. Because if that is the case, why would Jesus come down? Why would he create it in the beginning, create the heaven and earth? Because if God just wanted to do anything or everything by his own mighty loving power, in the Trinity, they're already perfectly loving, perfectly capable. Why would he create us? God's heart, I believe, we believe, is to help us to enjoy him and honor him in everything that we worship, every step that as we worship, and every step that we walk, and every single work that we work. And I believe today as we understand this, do not hold back. I'm not here to come alongside with Pastor Bruce. You have to work. You do ushering. You go back to the tap booth. You go into the campus. I want to see that, but it's not like we have an agenda, obey it. We have an agenda, follow it. It's not like that. God is calling us to do not hold back because he did not hold back. Before chapter 54, just the one chapter before this chapter, there's a whole chapter pointing forward to who Jesus is, the suffering servant. And if you have time, which we all have time, right? Look at your screen time. You know what I'm talking about. Please go back and read chapter 53 and 54. So we understand that God did not hold back for us to be saved, for us to wash away all the shame and all the guilt, so that when we say, when God calls us to do not hold back, say, all the emotion and all the hurts and all the past experience that you have, it might prepare you, but you shouldn't look back to that and then stop. No, I will never do that. And today I just feel like the Lord is calling us to face him for who he is. He's not trying to slave over us. He's inviting us to enjoy him and to honor him in all the every single step. Can I invite all to stand and receive a blessing? I want to pray for some of us today. I want to invite you to close your eyes and bow down your head. Not that we have a magic power doing that. It's just that we can focus on what God is telling us today. And I think as we close our eyes, bow down our heads, and we have a time of silence for a few moments, try to identify what God is calling and pointing out. What are the things that we are holding back? Why are we holding back? Oh Lord, grace us. Holy Spirit, would you please come and talk to us? Yes, God is more than willing and more than capable to speak to you, to help you to see what kind of darkness and what kind of curse and sickness that's been trapping us and stopping us to worship him. Yes, God is speaking. He might be reminding you of a picture, someone's name, some incidents, some hurts, some dreams, some pain. The Lord is saying, do not hold back. Do not let that hinder you. For I have a purpose for you. For I have a bright, fruitful future for you. I am the promise keeper. I will make ways in the wilderness.
Holy Spirit, would you please bless my brothers and sisters right now. Help us to embrace you, to embrace the bright future that you have for us, no matter how it will look like. Lord, help us to know who is at our corner, always instructing, always guiding, always looking out for us, always fighting our enemies, always bringing us back home. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for blessing and protection upon all my brothers and sisters right now, that your joy shall be our strength, that your hope shall be our focus, that your love shall heal us and comfort us. Lord, I pray that that hope will be so tangible and the love will be so obvious in the coming days that we know that you are speaking. Lord, some of us are praying a prayer that they have been praying for years and months that hasn't come through. But Lord, would you please right now generously bless us and grant us this wish, as you know you are doing good for us and you're for us and you want us to know you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.